This is KPTZ 91.9 FM, and this is Attention Please.
Could I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Welcome to Attention Please, KPTZ's weekly news magazine. I'm Jim Burke, your host this week. My guest this week, Will O'Donnell, Broadband and Communications Director for the Jefferson County PUD, and Melody Sky Weaver, Director of the City of Port Townsend Public Library. We're going to start off with Melody Sky Weaver. We're talking to Melody Sky Weaver, the Director of the City of Port Townsend Public Library, about Braiding Sweetgrass for Young Adults by Robin Wall Kimmerer and adapted by Monique Gray Smith. It is the March 2023 Community Read. Melody, hello.
Hi, Jim. It's such a pleasure to be back on Attention Please. Thank you so much for bringing me on to talk about my favorite month of the year, Reading Month.
So how many times has the Reading Month happened? The Community Read.
The Community Read has been going strong. This is our 18th year.
Wow.
It's really incredible.
It is. And this month we have Braiding Sweetgrass for Young Adults. Can you tell me about that book?
Yeah, well, it's really spectacular that this book came to me. I think the book that I've been asked most to do as a Community Read is Braiding Sweetgrass by Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer. And how wonderful that she's very famous and very popular. We are just not able to get her. She's also not touring as much because she's focusing on her teaching because she's a biology professor. So I reached out to her speakers bureau and they told me last year, just be patient. We have something pretty extraordinary coming. And then last fall, they said, we have a young adult version. And how incredible could this be for your community to encourage intergenerational reading and sharing and really planting the seeds of wonderful action in our youth for how our world could be a better place. I mean, is there anything better than a well-written book that inspires people?
No, not really. Is this book, is it a how-to or is it a history of braiding sweetgrass?
Well, it's actually, it's an adaptation of Robin's original memoir, really. It's about her being an indigenous woman, an elder in the Potawatomi tribe, a biologist. And I love that the subtitle of the book is Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teaching of Plants. So it's a lovely series of essays that revolve around how sacred sweetgrass is. And this book, I have to say, I've read the original, of course. I love this book even more because it's filled with beautiful illustrations by Nicole Neidhart, who's a Navajo artist in Santa Fe. And it has all these wonderful quotes and reading prompts. I know, of course, we're on the radio, so our viewers won't get to see these, but there's all these little pullouts of quotes in here, which is just really, I think, spark reflection. Mm-hmm. And I love that. There's a whole movement right now. The Guardian had an article about the slow reading movement. And I was like, this is a book to savor.
Mm. Slow reading. Yes, that's good for me.
I know. I'm actually a slow reader myself, so I really appreciated that.
I get easily distracted, so I sometimes have to double back to the last paragraph and start again, and then sometimes I put it down and pick it up. But anyway, that's my ADD issue, not everyone else's. So how does the Reading Month Community Read program work?
It starts off with our city council and our mayor. So Mayor David Faber on March 6th at the next council meeting is going to declare it Reading Month and read a proclamation. Mm-hmm. And then we have a month-long celebration around the book with different programs and book discussions. And that's all on our website, which is ptpubliclibrary.org. Mm-hmm. And we culminate at the end of the month with the author coming. So we will have Monique Gray Smith, who's coming from Victoria. She will be here on March 28th.
And she's the one who adapted the original book.
Evening. Yeah, she was chosen by Robin, and she has written many children's books, and she's worked with the artist Nicole Neidhart before, and she wrote a book about kindness that's going to be featured in our story walk at Katai Lagoon that Nicole also illustrated. So it's like, there's all this wonderful synchronicity between these books for all ages.
Oh, sweet. I see it says for young adults. Does that mean that anybody should read it or that only young adults will relate to it?
No, I am so glad you asked that question. We choose different genres every year. We've done fantasy, we've done Western, we've done memoir, biography, adventure books, etc. And this year, what a wonderful way to have people understand how valuable young adult literature is. And young adult literature is just as enjoyable for adults. I read a lot of young adult literature, and sometimes I think I've heard wonderful authors talk about to deal with really difficult issues, you have to deal with them in young adult literature. I think teens and kids are more receptive sometimes than adults. And I love the wisdom of that. So I think that adults will love this just as much. And if they feel like they need more, then they can come and get the full memoir by Robin Wall Kimmerer. But how wonderful that they can honor teens by reading this book, hopefully with teens in their lives and children. And that's what I love, is this book will appeal to kids, young adults, and adults. It will. It could connect a lot of generations, and that's really the beauty of this book.
And then it says there's a limited number of free copies of the book at the Port Townsend Public Library on a first-come, first-served basis. Are people starting to pick those up?
Yeah, we're so fortunate. It literally takes a village to put on the community reads. So our friends of the library, they sponsor the programs, and then our library foundation purchases the books, and we get those books from imprint. So we try to keep our dollars as possible. And we have nearly 900 books circulating through the community. We gave a lot, of course, to the schools, but anyone can come to the library and pick up a book. And then they can also go to imprint and support our wonderful local bookstore and purchase a copy. So hopefully nobody has to wait. And a lot of our books, we call them read and release copies. So they're not checked out. The idea is you get it, you love it, and you pass it on to a friend or a neighbor or family member, and hopefully those books get read 5 to 10 times. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Oh, that's sweet. So people can actually take ownership of the books and then actually move them along to their friends and family.
Yeah, I feel like there's a really great life cycle to those books, so they don't need to worry about a due date and getting back to the library. And that's all made possible from our Friends of the Library and our Library Foundation. And then when I said it takes the village to put this on. We also have community sponsors. We're doing a really cool Indigenous animation screening at Rose Theater with the Port Townsend Film Festival. We are doing a walk of the Chichmahan Trail. And this is all on our website. And the artist Nicole Neihart will be giving a Zoom talk too. So there's a lot to look forward to. And there's a little something for all ages in our program this month, or this coming month.
Tell me a little bit about the animation. I'm a big fan of animation generally.
Yeah, I work closely with the film festival every year, and I let them know what book we're going to do. And then they think of films that will complement the book. And this year, Danielle, the wonderful executive director of the film festival, thought it would be wonderful to celebrate animation made by Indigenous filmmakers. Going back to, I think, what they consider the very first animation back from the 60s or 70s. An Indigenous filmmaker. A lot of wonderful shorts that'll be family friendly, and that'll be free at the Rose. People will be able to get tickets at the library or at the film festival website. First come, first serve. And all that information is going to be on our website.
Okay.
It's wonderful to gather together and see a film in the Rose and support the Rose.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place, and it's a great asset to the community, as well as the Port Townsend Public Library, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's great. It's a beautiful building. It's just a great organization as well. The Library Foundation, how does the Library Foundation collect money for this, for these kinds of events?
Our Library Foundation has done fundraisers over the years and been able to help support capital projects for the library, and really exciting in the last 8 years to see it grow and see, you know, us be able to have 800 books for the community read at a time.
800 books. That's amazing. It really is. Well, I think that's all we need for today. Thank you. I'm going to encourage everybody to go pick up a copy and to check this out. It looks like a beautiful book, and it looks like a very interesting journey that people will have as they're reading it. And I like how did you put it? It's a slow read.
Yeah. Savor the book. And you'll also get a chance to write gratitude postcards. That's an art project we're doing with Northwind. So look forward to that. Let's all celebrate our beautiful land in March.
Gratitude postcards for Northwind Art.
Yeah. So the gratitude postcards are a community art project we're doing with Northwind Art, and people will get to write or draw their gratitude to the land on postcards that we'll have displayed at the library and the Grover Gallery. And it'll be something that'll be fun for all ages.
Well, that sounds wonderful. So a nice cross-disciplinary and cross-town mix-up or mash-up or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm thinking of the right words right now. Because of the technical difficulties, my mind goes blank. You know?
That's okay. I think it's cross-pollination, right?
Cross-pollination. That's it. Exactly. That's it. Very good.
We're thinking of seeds. Let's do like that.
Seeds of learning in the community. That sounds great. Thanks, Melody Sky Weaver. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's been a pleasure.
This is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington, and this is Attention Please. We're speaking with Will O'Donnell, the Broadband and Communications Director of Jefferson County PUD. Will O'Donnell, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, it's glad you're here. The big question on everybody's mind is the broadband project for the PUD and for the community. How did it get started and what's the current status of it?
Do you want the long or the encapsulated version of this story?
Any way you want to tell it. It's I guess the encapsulated version might keep our listeners interested longer. It's hard to say.
I'll try with the encapsulated version. Okay. We've been studying broadband for a long time. We've had a lot of interest from the community, a lot of folks, you know, begging the PUD to help get them connected to the internet, especially out in a lot of our rural areas. We did some strategic plans. The COVID pandemic happened. All of a sudden, the government released all these grants to build fiber across the county just at the same time that we had just finished a couple rounds of strategic planning. So we were ready to go and put in the applications, and now we have $25 million to spend to expand our fiber network and another $25 million that we have in requests to the government to grow it even further.
Wow, that's incredible. And you've started with business. Is that the plan? As you started rolling it out or making it available to businesses before homes and individuals?
No, we're going to roll it out to residences. We have had, since 2013, we've had about 20 miles of fiber around the county that hooked up anchor institutions, the county building, some of the fire stations, the hospital, things like that, the Fort Warden. So those have been in place. We've built off of that network to connect about 50 businesses over the last, gosh, it's getting on 10 years now since 2013. Yeah.
Wow.
So we've got about 50 businesses that are on that network, but we're going to expand to a lot more. We're building an entirely new network with the fiber that we've got. It's a different style of network, different equipment. It allows us to connect more folks for less money and give them faster speeds. So
super.
Technology's changed and improved.
In 10 years. What a surprise. Yeah. So right now there's a sign-up thing going on, a sign-up push on the part of the PUD. Is that for anybody, whether they're a business or a household?
Yeah, it's if you go to our website, jeffpudd.org, you'll see a button on there that says Fiber Sign Up, and it'll take you to a page that'll have you put in your address to see if you live in one of our designated areas. And that's an area where we have grant funding to build. The first area that we're going to build goes from Quilcene all the way up to Gardner, includes part of Chimicum, Discovery Bay. I think we've got about 1,000 customers in there that we're going to be connecting this year.
Wow.
We want those folks to sign up. Right now, the first 60% do not have to pay for any of the cost of having fiber put into their home. They will just have to pay for the monthly service. Beyond 60%, we are going to have some kind of cost share for that installation. So we're trying to, you know, encourage as many people to sign up as possible early so that they get in on that 60%.
And then if people sign up now, for example, I'm in PT. I filled in the form yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
How long before it comes to my house, for example?
We should be connecting the first folks with internet this summer, so probably July, and probably in Quilcene and Discovery Bay areas. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be expanding our network into Port Townsend. We're only doing Port Townsend businesses. At this time, that's all that we have funding for. Mm. The funding requirement is businesses, but home businesses count. If you have your UBI and a small business license, then we can put fiber to your home if you live within that within the area in the map.
And there would still be the $1,200 fee?
Or? Yeah, for our fully grant-funded areas, there's no connection fee if you're in that first sign-up window. Mm-hmm. For our business area, that's a loan we received from the state. Low-interest loan, but we still have to pay it back. So we're getting some of the connection charge. It's a $1,200 cost.
Okay.
What we've done is just average the cost around the area. We've had some installations that'll be cost us $500. Others, it'll be $30,000.
Wow.
So we just average it across the board to $1,200. Folks can pay it on an installment plan over 5 years if they need to. Some businesses like to pay it up front.
Sure. But if you were a resident in Port Townsend, you didn't have a UBI, how long before that might happen?
So our goal and our charge has been to connect folks who do not have access to broadband.
Oh, I see.
There's different definitions of what broadband is. What we've been working off is the standard definition that's been in place with the FCC for a while, which is 25 megabits per second download speeds, 3 megabits per second upload speeds, and over a wired line versus a wireless line.
Right.
And that speed, 25.3, was set to, that's about the maximum limit for DSL, which is the old copper phone network internet that you would get.
Right.
So they're considering everything that basically isn't cable is unserved, and anybody with cable is served, cable or fiber.
Right, so if I have cable from Wave, or now it's called Astound, or...
Yep, Astound.
What is it? I want to say Quest, but now it's Lumen.
Lumen is CenturyLink, yeah.
Lumen is CenturyLink. That's not Quest. That was a long time ago.
Yep.
What is the name of the stadium again? I think it's Lumen Field now, isn't it? Yeah.
Yep.
So in other words, I'm served. Our household is served as a residential thing. So that might actually change in the next few years when more grants come along, or will it just change because the infrastructure will be there and you guys will be able to hook us up?
We will just have to see. Our priority is those unserved areas that we have funding for.
Well, that makes sense.
I think there's going to be a lot of folks in Port Townsend that are going to be jealous of Quilcene's internet service. And what I love to tell people is that by the end of 2023, Quilcene is going to have better internet service than most of Seattle, because most of Seattle has cable internet.
Right.
And they're going to have symmetrical high-speed fiber up to 10 gigs, by 10 gigs if they want.
What? Tell me about the symmetrical part.
That means the same speed up as down.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason that that's important is one of the issues that COVID highlighted. So when most folks, even if you're on a DSL network, you can usually stream the internet, you can watch Netflix. But if you've got, say, a few folks at home and you're trying to do Zoom class, Zoom work, anything where you're trying to upload, which your video feed, that upload speed becomes very important. The way the cable companies do it and the phone companies and a lot of the satellite companies do is they maximize the download speeds and they minimize the upload speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because most of what you're doing is consuming, you're not really broadcasting yourself.
Right, because you're watching Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, or anything. Yeah. Even if you're watching an educational or training program, most of the time you're not participating. But with online school, remote work, telemedicine, all of a sudden that became very important. What fiber it offers symmetrical speed. So if you need, let's say, 25 megabits per second down, you can also have it up. And a lot of the other technologies can't really provide that at this time. So that's what makes it special. That's why we're moving forward with that technology.
Well, that's cool. And that'll make a Zoom call a little less glitchy, I guess.
Yeah, it'll make it a lot less glitchy. And it won't be, you know, when I lived in Port Townsend, I live on Maristone now, but I used to live in Port Townsend and I had the max Wave package when it was Wave of 250 megabits per second download. But every night at 8 p.m. when everybody else was trying to watch Netflix like I was, it was like 10 megabits per second because the networks are just overloaded.
So the networks, but also your local cable, your fellow cable users, right? Isn't that true that in your neighborhood, as other people in your neighborhood are using the cable all at the same time,
it
slows things down as well?
That's exactly the problem.
Yeah,
it's too much demand trying to go through a tiny pipe. So they have not determined the size of the pipe for fiber. It's in like the 3 terabits of data is what they're able to move through it at this point. So it's a You know, a lot of folks are like, well, why would you be putting more, you know, wires in the ground? Basically, the future is all going to be over the air. And the answer to that is that the future is in that fiber, because the speed limits are unknown at this point. It's only limited by the electronics and any
hardware at both ends.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And anything that's coming over the air is being fed by a fiber pipe to begin with. Oh. So with either it's coming up or down on the fiber pipe.
Right.
So,
okay. Yeah. All right. Wow. Well, that's a lot to think about.
We're a unique utility in a lot of ways. We're the only PUD in the state that is pursuing retail broadband status. So we're the only ones in the state that is going to be selling internet directly to its customers. The rest of them are operating as wholesalers.
Oh, another question about that. I could get your fiber. Once the fiber comes to my home or to my business, I could get your fiber, but I could also get the internet from Wave or Lumen or the other companies as well. Or in other words, the hardware inside my house could be from them, even though the throughput is from you.
Yep. Yeah, right now, you know, some houses will have like five different lines coming in from all these different companies. What we have is an open access network. So we put in a fiber, you can get a service from us. If you want to get it from somebody else that wants to use our network to deliver it to you, then that's fine as well. Okay. They have to sign up to be a part of our network, and we've got some smaller local businesses that do that. Mm-hmm. To date, CenturyLink and Wave have not wanted to.
They're not opting in yet.
They are not. They are doing some partnership in Clallam County. Astound/Wave is. Mm-hmm. So in the future, maybe we'll find ways to collaborate. We're open to it.
Cool. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. We do a lot of things that are different. One of the things that's different about us is that we're the first first county in Washington State to take a private electric utility public in more than 70 years. And we did that in 2013. Wow. Our 10th anniversary of public power is this year. We're going to have a celebration party on April 11th. But when we took over that electric utility, it was previously owned by PSE. They had moved out all of their local operations in late 90s, early 2000s. So they didn't have anybody local. They just had, I think, like two people working locally. The rest was all contracted out. So they contracted out all of their meter readers. And when we purchased it, we took on that same contract to read those same meters.
Oh, I see.
What a lot of folks have been confused about is if you go out, the majority of the meters, if you go look at them, they're 50, 60 years old. Some of them are a little younger. They're the mechanical spinning wheel kind.
The old ones with the spinning wheel in them. Yeah. I like those.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah. And they're not very accurate. They're a little out of date.
Right?
Yeah, they're pretty old. All right. But you see the mechanical spinning wheel, you assume someone's going to walk up and read it. And that's actually not the case. In the 90s, PSE took the covers off and retrofitted a little cellular device, like a little cellular chip, just like in a cell phone, that sends out its signal. So the contracted company just drives around the county, and they have a little radio box in their van or their truck that picks up all the signals from the different homes.
Oh, okay. So in a lot of cases, even though it looks like an old meter, it's already a smart meter?
It's already what some folks call a smart meter. Yeah. The smart meter definition changes. Either it's a meter that can broadcast a radio signal at all, or one that can get one send one out and receive one back.
Now,
so we're replacing those old meters with new meters that other folks are calling smart meters. We call them AMI meters, which is advanced metering infrastructure. Okay. And it means they can send a signal out and receive one back, so that we don't have to send any trucks anywhere in the county. It just uploads its read to the cloud. Mm-hmm. We download that. No more trucks driving around.
Okay. Now the old meters. Mm-hmm. So they have that nice thick glass on them.
Right? Yeah, the new meters do not.
Yeah. But I mean, is there going to be ever any are they just all scrapped and melted, or is it going to be a secondary market for people who just want them as objects to put up? Because I would love to put one of those on my mantle. That would be such a cool thing to have, you know, just run it with a battery or something.
Yeah.
Just make it spin around or something.
We recycle. We gather them all up and we recycle them. We have folks that don't want a broadcasting meter, and they have the right to opt out of a broadcasting meter, and then they'll get a refurbished version of one of those manual read meters put back in, and they have to pay an extra monthly fee. and then we do send somebody to walk up and read it.
Okay, yep. Right. So it costs more to walk it up and read it,
yeah,
of yep. course, these days. So the contract is ending with the people who have been reading these meters, mm-hmm. and then so the PUD is probably going to take over all the meter reading?
So we're hoping they'll extend it. We haven't been able to come to terms with them. We would like to have them extend it through the end of the year, mm-hmm. But the contract ends in February, and we've not been able to get that extension.
Oh, no.
So we're just preparing to take over all of the reading ourselves. We've also been underway with replacing all the meters in the county. We started a district-wide replacement. We were planning on it going a year and a half. Mm. So even if they were to come back last minute and agree to keep reading the meters and help us out for a while, we would just ramp up the replacement time so that we could get all the meters replaced, and then we don't need to have people driving around the county constantly to pick up those signals.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, I guess that's all we have for today, Will. Thank you, Will O'Donnell, for being with me today on Attention, Please. I really appreciate it.
Can I add a couple things?
Yes, absolutely, please.
One of the things that I wanted to let folks know about is the service levels that we'll be providing. So when they go to our website and they click on the fiber sign-up option, they will be asked a series of questions. Where do you live? Are you in the zone? And then what levels of service you want? Our minimum service level is $65 a month for 150 megabytes up and 150 megabits down. It's mm-hmm. megabits, sorry, not megabytes. Megabits is like the flow through, and megabytes is the total amount of data used.
Oh, I see.
Yep. So we want to take a look at that. We'll also have gigabit packages and 3 gigabit. So if you've got some power users, if you've got a pretty extensive home security system which some folks have, or if you're a serious gamer, you know, we've got all that stuff to cover you. We're providing the routers for your home. So we're mm-hmm. going to set all that up for you and train you how to use them. And then we've also got a little app that goes along with it that can help you control all those things and set some pretty interesting parental controls and time. You know, if you want to you can either regulate your children or you can regulate your own screen time.
Right.
If you're one of those folks.
Cut myself off at 11 so I get to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. You can literally cut off the router at that point. Yeah, or
idea,
cut out actually. Access to it.
Right. Go to sleep.
Yep.
Get up in the morning. Well, that's great. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. I mean, thanks for being here. I mean, thanks, Will O'Donnell, for coming.
Oh, one more thing. Yes, can I just add? Sorry, I just want to keep going. We are very happy that we got fiber out to Building 305, and the new studio is now connected to the PUD fiber, and you guys are up and running on our network.
We're very excited about that.
Yeah.
People have been saying conflicting things about when we're actually going to finally and make the move.
Yeah.
And what I've been saying is that in 2023, mm-hmm. we're going to make the move into Building 305 in Fort Worden. That's when it'll happen.
I think that's a great. That's 2023 is when we're bringing fiber internet to the community.
Yeah, there you go.
It's going to be a good year.
It's vague enough that we don't. You know, it's not that we have our own internal deadlines that we're working with, but we're keeping quiet about those.
Well, it ends on an up note. 2023.
That's right. Thanks so much, Will, for being here.
Thank you.
Can I have your attention, please?
May I have your attention, please?
Thank you for joining us here this week on Attention, Please. My thanks to our guests, Will O'Donnell and Melody Sky Weaver. Attention, Please is presented Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and Saturdays at noon every week.
May I have your attention?
Thanks for joining us on Attention, Please.